True Green is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, among others. They'll do all of that so you can do literally anything else. You have better things to do with your free time than focus on your lawn care. Let True Green take care of all the hard work it takes to get a great lawn while you take care of everything else on your to-do list. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which gives you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. Think about how hard it is to manage our fantasy baseball teams. You need all the time you can get to put in waiver wire claims, fab bids, send out trades, and set your lineups. You'll have that extra time when True Green is taking care of your lawn. You do you, let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, guaranteed.
Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast from CBS Sports.
High drive, center field, hit the wall, grand slam. This is magnificent.
Got a fantasy question? Email fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Get ready to win your league.
Where fantasy becomes reality.
Now here's Frank, Scott, Chris, and Adam.
Shohei Ohtani is the first player to 40 home runs this season. Oh, and he has a 2.79 ERA as a pitcher. The guy is just unreal. Welcome into Fantasy Baseball Today on Thursday, August 19th. I am Frank Sample, joined by Chris Towers and Scott White for a Thursday pod. This is awesome. Very excited to have us all together. We don't usually do this on our Wednesday night, Thursday morning soiree. So I am very excited that we've got the band back together today on the show. Waiver wire matchmaker. Got a few more waiver ads to talk about. And I'll pull up some players. Can you drop these guys for Frankie two hits? Frankie Schwindel, man. The guy just keeps going. Hey, real quick. Stole it from Adam Azer. And team name Thursday. But let's just start with the AL MVP. The guy is just unbelievable. I mentioned 40 homers, 18 steals for Ohtani, .269 batting average, a .1011 OPS, 8 innings of one-run ball with 8 strikeouts against the Tigers on Wednesday, 2.79 ERA, 106 whip, 120 strikeouts over 100 innings pitched. And I don't know if this is how you actually would calculate his WAR, but I guess just taking from the hitter and the pitcher side, he's got a 7 WAR. The next closest player is Vladimir Guerrero Jr. at 5.4. He is unquestionably your American League MVP.
And that almost certainly undersells his value, because WAR is, you know, value over replacement player. Well,
he's a DH.
He's one roster spot and two players, so that adds even more value. If we had a way to calculate that, and I'm sure somebody's working on it or already has, like, he's probably having one of the most valuable seasons of all time.
Yeah, I mean, look, no one's going to argue that he's a better overall hitter than Mike Trout or a better pitcher than Jacob DeGrom. But when you can do both of those things at an elite level, this is truly something that we've never seen before. And, you know, we make all these hyperbolic statements because, look, we watch baseball a lot and we cover this every single day. But, I mean, this is truly one of the best seasons that we've ever seen from a player when you consider that he's doing it both as a hitter and as a pitcher. Once again, raise your hand if you have none of his pitching stats on your roto team. That's me. What's going on, Scott? How you doing? You haven't talked yet. How do you feel about Ohtani? He's awesome.
He is awesome. Yeah, I mean, just he's become so bankable as a starting pitcher that, you know, obviously in like a CBS league where you have to commit to one him pitching or hitting going into any given week, you're not really caring that much how he does as a pitcher, because you're not getting the benefit of it, as you pointed out. But if you play on one of those other sites that divides him into two players and you have the pitcher version, like, he's just a fixture. Like, when's the last time he had a bad start? He did have one bad start during a very long stretch.
So it was like start. He's had 6 straight quality starts. He has 4 walks during that span, by the way, which is also just amazing when you consider he had 35 walks over his first 12 starts of the season. But the start before this 6 start stretch was that one against the Yankees where he failed to complete the first inning. So
yeah, he had 7 earned runs. If you take that start out, he has a .217 ERA this season.
It's crazy,
he's going to, if he stays healthy, He's probably got, what, six starts left? Something like that?
Yeah, sounds about right.
Probably looking at about 130 innings of a maybe 2.7 ERA, probably sub three at the pace he's at least, and one of the four or five best hitters in baseball. It's absurd.
Yeah, and shout out to you, Chris, because I know that you've had him ranked inside your top 30 starting pitchers for a large portion of the season. I just recently moved him inside of my top 30, but you know that's more so for leagues and formats where I guess it's two separate players. But if you have that starting pitcher option, I know they do that on Yahoo. Yeah, he's legitimately a top 30 starting pitcher. He might even be better than that. The other player who was, you know, just did something awesome, historic on Wednesday, Freddie Freeman. He hit for his second cycle of his career. He did that by the sixth inning, by the way, which is just hilarious. He's now batting .301 with 27 home runs. I was about to send out a tweet making fun of how slow Freddie Freeman is, but he's like, he's not actually slow. Like he's slow, but like he's sneaky. You know, it's weird. I don't know how to explain it. It's like Pujols used to steal bases, but he was never fast. That's kind of how Freddie Freeman is. So, Scott, this is your guy on the Atlanta Braves. The Braves, by the way, surging first place in the NL East. Congratulations. This is an awesome accomplishment for Freddie Freeman.
Yeah, it is an awesome accomplishment. It turns out he's having another awesome year. Remember, for a while there, we were pretty disappointed in Freddie Freeman's production, but I know the three of us on this podcast were consistent in saying, well, look at the underlying numbers, look at the StatCast data. He looks like typical Freddie Freeman. He's going to come around. And that's basically happened. It started actually before the All-Star break, but now he has his batting average up over 300 again. He's already hit the third most home runs he's ever hit in a season. And obviously, there's still a month and a half to go. So, yeah, Freddie Freeman, I think he's going to be an obvious first-round pick again next year. And there's no reason to think he's slowing down.
All right, everyone knows Ohtani's awesome. Everyone knows Freddie Freeman is awesome. Let's talk about players that maybe we don't talk about enough.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
All right, Scotty, where would you like to get us started?
Yeah, so one guy I feel like we haven't talked about much at all this year, unless it was on one of those rare podcasts I missed, one of those rare Thursday podcasts I missed, Freddie Freeman. No, not Freddie Freeman. Avisail Garcia. Avisail Garcia hit two home runs on Wednesday. 22nd and 23rd of the year. This is already a career high for him, by the way. The most he had hit previously in a season was 20. And since the start of July, he's been especially hot, batting .350 with eight home runs since the start of July is Avisail Garcia. It hasn't gotten a lot of hype, as I pointed out, but he's having the best year he's ever had. And it's frustrating for me because I was very high on him going into last year, moving from Tampa Bay to Milwaukee. And I thought he was going to have a breakout, drafted him late in a lot of leagues, and was terrible. He was terrible and didn't even end up playing regularly. And so, of course, I was off him this year. So you're early on Avisail Garcia. I pointed out how good he's been since July, but if you just look at his season-long numbers, specifically you look at head-to-head points per game, Avisail Garcia has more than Alex Verdugo. He has more than Trey Mancini. He has more than Adam Frazier. He's not that far behind like Joey Gallo. So, you know, he's ahead of Jared Walsh now, as much as Jared Walsh has slowed down. So, yeah, I mean, Avisail Garcia, even at the three outfielder league, very much in startable territory and just quietly having the breakout season I hoped he'd have last year.
Yeah, and you mentioned what he's done in fantasy points per game. He's also the 66th ranked player in Roto, and that's going into Wednesday before he added those two home runs. Very sneakily has stolen six bases this season, Avisail Garcia. And the StatCast numbers back it up. .283 expected batting average, .507 expected slug. I feel like we've been waiting a while for Garcia to put together just one of these breakout seasons, and it looks like it is happening right now. So continue to leave him in your lineups. He's 87% rostered, so maybe in some really shallow leagues, 8-10 team leagues, but outside of that, I would assume he's rostered everywhere else. Chris,
he's been under-rostered pretty much all year, though. Yeah, there, I mean, there was a long stretch where he was in like the 60% range. He wasn't available in any of my leagues, but yep. he's been providing surplus value for a long time this season.
Yep. Oh, my goodness gracious for you, Chris.
Well, since we already talked about the American League MVP, how about potential National League MVP? And right now, maybe probable National League MVP, Max Muncy. He's got 5 home runs in his last 4 games. He hit 2 today. He does lead the NL in Fangraphs and Baseball Reference WAR. Baseball Reference is actually a little higher on him. He's close to 1,000 OPS. He's up to 983. And, you know, something I was thinking about the other day is, like, we should do a segment about players we haven't really, like, really good players who we haven't really talked about much this season. I feel like Max Muncy would be on that list, which is weird because he's having the best season of his career coming off a really bad season in 2020 where, you know, people were kind of worried, oh, maybe, you know, the late breakout was finally getting figured out. But no, he's got the best expected stats of his career. He's actually underperforming his ex-WOBA, as incredible as that may seem, given how good he's actually been. Max Muncy is a hell of a player.
Yeah, and the improvement in the batting average is probably the most surprising. He's up to 276 now, 982 OPS.
Strikeout rate.
Yeah, that's just phenomenal.
He's right around an 18% strikeout rate, maybe a little lower against lefties. I think he's at, coming into tonight, I don't know if he had any plate appearances against lefties, but coming into tonight, he had a 16% strikeout rate against lefties.
Well, that's the thing about Muncy is, ever since this breakout started with the Dodgers, he's always been good against lefties. And early on in the Dodger career, you know, they weren't playing him against lefties because, I mean, they really need to see a lot before they trust a player to play them every day. That's just kind of the Dodger way. We've seen that.
They always have so many players to play.
Exactly. Yeah. But we've seen it a lot with, like, Gavin Lux and some of their younger players. But once he started to prove it, they just let him go. And he's awesome against left-handed pitching. So, yeah, shout out to Max Muncy. Another player I was going to save for later who we really haven't talked about at all this season. I don't know that we've mentioned his name a single time. Kyle Seager has 27 home runs for the Seattle Mariners, albeit, you know, with a 218 batting average, 740 OPS. But look, 27 home runs is nothing to sneeze at. So I don't know that we've said his name a single time this year. By the way, both Seager brothers have homered on Wednesday. So I don't think that happens very often, but it's definitely worth mentioning. Shout out to Max Muncy. And I don't know how often all three of our, oh my goodness gracious, players are hitters, but here we go.
We did it.
We did it. Wander Franco.
Maybe not the best night for pitchers.
Yeah. I mean, there was nothing really notable. I mean, we'll get to Marco Gonzalez. Don't you wait. But Wander Franco, 3-for-4 with a double, a walk, 2 RBI with the Tampa Bay Rays. And in the second half now, he's batting 288, 4 homers, 845 OPS, 14% strikeout rate, 22% line drive rate. We've seen this with a few of these prospects now where, okay, the first month or so struggles, you know, we kind of worry, but then they turn it on. And Wander Franco, I think if you just watch him and his approach at the plate, specifically his plate discipline, like, he gets it. He knows, like, he has really good control over the strike zone. And he makes a pretty loud contact. Not that, you know, I'm looking at the average exit velocity. It's not great or anything, but I think Wander Franco is just going to, he's going to be just fine. That's basically the whole point of this.
Yeah, he's still not hitting righties super well, which remains a concern, but, you know, not necessarily something that I'm too concerned about moving forward because it wasn't really a problem in the minors. But that's, you know, if you're looking for an area to watch for improvement over the last month and a half of the season, I think that would be it. But yeah, I think you have to be very pleased with the way he's played lately.
Yeah, 100%. So if you held on to Wander Franco, get that man back in your lineup because he is hot. And from the best prospect in baseball to one of the top pitching prospects, I did want to talk about him early on here. Josiah Gray, up against the Toronto Blue Jays on Wednesday. 6 innings, 2 runs, only 4 strikeouts, but did have 14 swinging strikes on 87 pitches. 10 of those came on the slider, and I love that he only had 1 walk in this game. The reason being, he gave up 2 more home runs, and he has now allowed 7 home runs in 4 starts with the Washington Nationals. And I mentioned this before. I think maybe you and I were talking about it, Scott. You can get away with giving up home runs as long as they're solo home runs and you're not walking that many guys. Verlander, Max Scherzer, they've made a career out of it. I'm not saying Josiah Gray is going to be as good as those guys, but that's kind of like his path to making this work if he's going to give up this many fly balls. Scott, what do you think about what you saw from Josiah Gray? Are you worried about this 60% fly ball rate down the stretch?
Yes, I'm worried about that because that's probably, you know, leaving out a kind of compiler stat like XFIP, ground ball rate, fly ball rate, how often a pitcher puts the ball in the ground or in the air. That's probably the second most important thing to me about a pitcher. But the most important thing is how many swings and misses he gets. And Josiah Gray has been such a standout there. Consistently, it's getting called up, even those bad starts with the Dodgers. That I'm more excited about that than I am nervous about the fly balls. But obviously, I wish the fly ball rate was lower. That would, I'd probably be over the moon for Josiah Gray at this point if that was the case.
And, you know, StatCast numbers do suggest that he's perhaps been a bit unlucky. He's got a 344 WOBA allowed with a 294 X WOBA. So, you know, maybe that's a place where, you know, even with the home runs, you know, he does have a 23.5 degree average launch angle, which is absurdly high for a pitcher and something that you would probably think will come down at some point. But the quality of contact against him has been very low. Yeah, I think that would be the right way to say it. So, you know, I do think there are reasons to be pretty optimistic about him. I have questions about his overall upside. You know, I don't know if he's necessarily someone who can be like a top 15 starting pitcher, but he's also a talented young pitcher, and so you can never really put a ceiling on any of them. But yeah, I'm pretty happy with what he's shown so far.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to project pitchers, you know, that far down the line, and obviously projecting for top 15 would be a very high upside, but he has shown the ability to get whiffs this year. I mean, a 17% swinging strike rate entering Wednesday and then 14 more swinging strikes. And if he keeps the walks down, I think there's a very, very high ceiling here for Josiah Gray. He's 74% rostered. Go ahead, Scott.
I would guess most of the pitchers we consider to be in the top 15 now, we would look at when they were first breaking in and say, I don't know that he has top 15 potential just because it's hard to pinpoint exactly who those guys are. I mean, Jacob DeGrom wasn't that guy. Shane Bieber wasn't that guy.
Scherzer probably was.
Scherzer, you could make the argument, was Garrett Cole.
Garrett Cole.
But Jack Flaherty, no. Lance Lynn, obviously not. Brandon Woodruff, no. Corbin Burns, no. Yeah, I mean, it's that's a difficult needle to thread.
And even like Zach Wheeler, when he got called up, yes. Once we saw him pitch, no. For like 6 years.
Yeah.
And now, yes. Kevin Gausman, same thing.
Yeah. Took a long time. It took a winding route to that top 15 status.
Aaron Nola was certainly not someone that we viewed as like a high, high upside pitcher.
Yeah, he was more of a high floor guy.
Yeah.
Kevin Sandy Alcantara, definitely not.
Kevin Gausman, by the way, one of these days we got to talk about him because something's not right with Kevin Gausman right now. Just want to wrap up with Josiah Gray. He's 74% rostered. I don't know that he needs to be universally rostered for the rest of the season, but I think he should be for at least next week because he's projected for two starts at the Marlins and at the New York Mets. So those are obviously fantastic matchups right now. And especially if you're listening to Mets owner Steve Cohen, who called out his team via Twitter, which I don't know, it's just kind of like a weird thing to do. But he had this to say, it's hard to understand how professional hitters can be this unproductive. I was just like,
I'll just say, oh, he's passionate, blah, blah, blah. But like, if you're the owner who spent all offseason, we're going to spend whatever it takes to build a winner. And then like you didn't in the offseason. And then at the trade deadline, you gave up better prospects so the Cubs would pay more of Javier Baez's salary. One, you definitely don't get to complain about your team's plate discipline when Javier Baez was your big trade deadline acquisition. And two, just shut up. Like, you have not done what you said you were going to do so far as an owner, so just stop.
I mean,
you don't need to hear it.
He traded for Lindor, and he gave him a massive contract extension.
Right. Like, that's the bare minimum.
But that's also much more than the Wilpons would have ever done, so in comparison.
You can trip over a low enough bar.
Yeah, that's true. Before we get to news and notes, Fantasy Football Today draft prepping for Charity Month supporting St. Jude is underway throughout the month. The FFT crew will have various eBay auctions supporting St. Jude, culminating in the six-hour draft-a-thon event on September 1st. Up for bid are pre-draft calls with fantasy experts. Are you one of those, Chris?
I did one of my calls today.
Oh, nice.
Talked to a couple of people. Sweet. Gave them some advice. It was good. It was nice.
Very nice. You can also earn a spot in an expert fantasy league, a custom-designed fantasy football team logo, and more. And I mentioned yesterday, one of those is drink a beer with Heath Cummings, which sounds pretty fun via Zoom, obviously. Go to cbssports.com/eBay to donate and bid. Again, that's cbssports.com/eBay. And, Chris, I am in the process. I hit you up the other day, asked if you want to play softball. I'm in the process of making our softball team this fall. Now, I'm working on a few things because it's a co-ed league, and I don't know many women that want to play softball or are decent at softball. So if you have anybody in mind, or if you are listening to this podcast and you are a woman and would like to play softball with us, please hit us up. Email me, frank.stanfill@cbsinteractive.com.
In Brooklyn, by the way.
Important
to say that.
We do have team name Thursday later on today. I'll let you use the rest of this podcast to think about it, but let's try and think of a fun team name for our softball team, because I'm not really good at that. And obviously you're much better than me. So
I also want to point out, if you want to play in the Scott Fish Bowl for 2022, there are four opportunities right now, and you can play in Frank's league right now for $248, which is the most reasonably priced, because like people are putting in big bids for this thing, which is awesome. I love to see it. We're raising money for a great charity.
Fantastic.
We've actually already surpassed last year's total in money raised, and we still have 2 weeks left, which is amazing. Thank you so much to everyone who's contributed. But yeah, if you want to play in the Scott Fish Bowl, go look for Frank. Put that link in the notes.
I'll throw it in there.
Yeah, throw the whole eBay page up there, but especially your spot in the Scott Fish Bowl. Let's get that number up.
Yeah, let's do that. The most reasonably priced, if you want to play and obviously beat me in fantasy football, please come. Join. News and notes from Wednesday. Our guy, Patrick Sandoval, went to the IL with a lumbar spine stress reaction. Joe Madden.
So sad.
Joe Madden said the injury has the potential to be season ending, though there is no clear timetable. Jose Quintana will start on Thursday. This kind of sounds like we could drop Patrick Sandoval.
Yeah, I mean, I don't take that as to mean that the injury is especially serious, just that any injury, especially to a pitcher, we're at the point in the season where they all have the chance to be a season ender. We're just running out of time for them to build up again. If I could give a ghoulish take about this injury for Patrick Sandoval, I think this is perfect timing for his 2022 value. The buy-in wasn't complete yet. He was still available in a third of CBS sports leagues, despite our constant badgering. And I think there are going to be a lot of detractors next year, a lot of people second-guessing the hype. I will not be among them. I will be investing in Patrick Sandoval earnestly next year, and he'll be one of my top breakout pitcher candidates, partly because I think we've already seen the breakout.
The crystal beginning. Ball. Look into the crystal ball, Scott. What are we thinking? Top 50, top 40 starting pitcher for
Patrick
Sandoval?
In terms of where I draft him or how good he could be? Because I already ranked him in the top 40 before he got hurt.
Okay, so he'll probably be... I mean,
he could be top 20. That's how good I think he could be. He's got as good a swing in this stuff as anybody short of Garrett Cole. So, I mean, short of Jacob DeGrom.
I just meant, like, where are you going to rank him?
Where am I going to rank him?
Yeah.
Well, somebody was asking me if he'd be like my John Means next year. Somebody on Twitter was asking that. And yes, and that he's probably the pitcher I'll be beating the drum for most, but I have more confidence in Sandoval than I did in John Means heading into this year. So I will probably be looking to draft him just outside the top 10 rounds. And, you know, if it turns out his ADP is higher than that, which I guess is possible, I'll probably still be willing to draft him there too.
It won't be, Scott. You will have a lot of Patrick Sandoval next season. Say it with me. Sandoval means business. We have an update on Chris Bassitt. He's been placed on the IL and is expected to undergo surgery August 24th to repair the displaced and fractured bones on his right cheek. Chris Bassitt will need 6 weeks to fully recover, which means, unfortunately, again, it's like weird to bring this up because I care about Chris Bassitt. I want him to be all right, but we can drop him in fantasy, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it was like a best case scenario in terms of the outcomes. Because his vision is fine. His, you know, scans came all back, okay. So honestly, it's a positive outcome, all things considered.
Scott, should we look to add Dalton Jeffries with the hope that he can join the rotation? He has allowed 2 earned runs over his last 2 starts at AAA.
I would not be in a rush to do that, no, outside of deeper leagues. I think there's a chance he could emerge as a useful pitcher, but I would say the odds are against it.
10% rostered is Dalton Jeffries, a name to pay attention to for now. Throw him on the scout team. Freddie Peralta left Wednesday's start with right shoulder discomfort. Obviously, this is terrible because he's been a top 20 starting pitcher for most of the season. We are awaiting further details on a timetable and whether or not he'll hit the IL. Jacob DeGrom was told after his doctor's appointment Monday that the inflammation in his right elbow is improving, but he'll remain shut down from throwing until at least August 27th. And according to Pat Ragazzo of Sports Illustrated, the Mets are leaning towards shutting down DeGrom for the remainder of the season. So I guess don't drop him yet, but it looks like things are trending in that direction. We'll probably get some news in the coming days. Aroldis Chapman and Anthony Rizzo were both activated by the Yankees on Wednesday. Rizzo was batting second. Aroldis Chapman started the 9th inning with a 4-run lead. He gave up 2 hits, a walk, 1 earned run. His fastball velo was down 1.7 miles per hour. Slider was down 1.2 miles per hour. Something to watch. Obviously, he was dealing with an elbow injury, so we'll see. With Aroldis Chapman, the Blue Jays placed Alek Manoah on the bereavement list, which means he'll miss between 3 and 7 days. George Springer was diagnosed with a grade 1 left knee sprain. He went on the IL the other day for that, which is relatively minor, so that's good news. He is week to week for now. Anthony DeSclafani left his start due to right ankle soreness. It doesn't seem too serious. He's day to day. Pete Alonso left Wednesday's game after getting hit by a pitch on his elbow. X-rays came back negative. Rhys Hoskins is doing better and could return from the IL on Friday. And how about this? Lance Lynn was ejected after throwing his belt at the umpire during a foreign substance check. Never,
he's such a curmudgeon.
Never seen that before. He's always so angry. I never realized.
I mean, I saw somebody posted a clip of him cursing at himself like 8 pitches into the start. He just, yeah, tossed the belt. It wasn't, you know, I saw people tweeting about, oh, he threw his belt. I saw it. He tossed it. It wasn't.
He was frustrated about the check happening, I guess, was the.
Yeah, he walked to the dugout. Then the umpire called him back. He left his glove and hat on the railing of the dugout, went inside. Then the umpire asked for him for his belt, and he just kind of took it off and tossed it.
It's funny how Lance Lynn's disposition has become a meme late in his career here. Like, he's been around for so long. I feel like somebody would have pointed this out by now. It's kind of like how Bartolo Colon became a meme very late in his very long career.
Or kind of like how I didn't know Liam Hendricks was Australian until the All-Star game.
What?
Just had no idea. I had no idea until the All-Star game.
Yeah. Oh, man. You know, it's funny.
I don't know how I missed that in information.
You know, it's kind of funny how you bring up Lance Lynn comparing to Bartolo Colon. Not that I'm body shaming. I'm more so body advocating, but you know, they're kind of going down a similar route as their
look, man.
Their careers progress.
It's a baseball body. Sure. All right? That's one of the things you love about baseball is there's guys that look like me out there.
I mean, I'm all about it, man. Yankee fan, CC Sabathia, he was awesome for a long time.
I mean, there's probably something to that. I mean, Williams Astudillo got a lot of...
Well, no, this is something Bill James wrote about in like the 2000 historical abstract, writing about Kirby Puckett as one in his like 100 greatest outfielders of all time or whatever. And he posits that like short, stout, dense body types may be good for baseball, which makes sense. It's all about, you know, quick twitch and, you know, generating a lot of power from rotations. So I think there's something to it.
Well, this whole conversation started with Lance Lynn getting a foreign substance check, which leads me to Caleb Smith, who was ejected from Wednesday's game against the Phillies due to the use of a foreign substance. I was watching this game. Apparently, it was the same umpire crew that ejected Hector Santiago earlier in the season. So I don't know. Maybe it's just something with these umpires that they're more strict than others, but whatever. Caleb Smith. Kwanghyun Kim will begin a rehab assignment at AAA on Thursday. Akil Baddoo and Derek Hill both started rehab on Wednesday. Anthony Santander sat Wednesday due to a sore ankle. I did see that he entered that game as a defensive replacement later on. Potentially massive news, specifically for you, Chris. Our old buddy, John Gant, is starting Thursday against the Yankees.
Oh my, I'm going to the game tomorrow.
Are you really? I'm going on Friday.
Oh my God, I need to buy a John Gant jersey.
His number one fan will be in attendance.
That is awesome. Any thoughts? Oh, no, I already talked about this. I didn't even realize I was about to bring up Steve Cohen again. That's how fun it is. Let's take a quick break. When we return, the Waiver Wire Matchmaker next here on Fantasy Baseball Today.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. Nothing beats a weekend away with the family in the great outdoors, whether it's camping, hiking, river rafting, or anything in between. With third-row seating, nobody is left out. The entire family can experience the thrill together. And nobody wants a dead phone. Available dual wireless charging pads make it so nobody gets stuck and we can check our fantasy baseball teams together. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. Waiver wire matchmaker, let's start with Miguel Sano. He hit a 475-foot homer, and in the second half, very quietly, hitting 262, five homers, and 877 OPS is Miguel Sano. He's 54% rostered, has first and third base eligibility. Six games next week, including three against left-handed pitching. Scott, your interest level in Miguel Sano, and I'm going to pull up some third baseman that maybe we could drop for him.
I don't like players like Miguel Sano because I'm not willing to stick with them when things start going bad. I mean, even like Joey Gallo, who has a longer history of delivering year after year, you know, I had him in a league last year, which, you know, the final numbers ended up terrible, but that's partly because the season was cut off before he had a chance to bounce back. But I even ended up benching Joey Gallo in the league where I had him last year. I understand picking up Miguel Sano off the waiver wire if you're chasing home runs. I mean, that's obviously a rational strategy, but like, just in terms of do I like him or not? No, I don't. Scott, I'd rather not have to do that.
Scott is overcomplicating this question.
Okay.
If like a good stretch for Miguel Sano is five home runs in 30 games, that's not really worth chasing.
I hear you there.
What's that?
No, keep going.
Yeah, like it's been 29 games now since the All-Star break. He is hitting 260, but that's with like a 350 BABIP. And he has five home runs. It's like a 25 homer pace. It's just, he can get hot at any time and crank out a bunch of home runs. But
well, that's the thing. I mean,
I don't think this is a precursor to that. I don't think there is more reason to believe Miguel Sano is about to hit a bunch of home runs than normal.
He still has an elite power profile with the exit velocity, the hard hit rate, the launch angle. I don't think his outlook has changed, period, you know, based on what he's done recently or not.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of those players where, you know, this time of year, we're looking for potential league winners. And when he gets hot, he gets hot. Yeah. But you're right.
No, if you're in like fifth place and you don't really have like a clear path in a roto league to get better, it might be worth swapping him in and just seeing if he can hit 10 home runs in the rest of the season. You know, that's entirely possible. He's got that kind of skill set.
All right. Well, the point of this was matchmaker. So I'm going to try and find some players that we can maybe drop for Miguel Sano. Would you guys drop Ryan McMahon? He's still 97% rostered.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Would you drop Yoan Moncada, 94% rostered? He really has not done much this season.
I don't like the idea of that. I could see doing it based on category need, but I like if we're talking about just like a points league or whatever, no.
Would you?
I think I probably would.
Would you drop? Again, Eugenio Suarez is 79% rostered. We could drop Suarez for like anybody, right?
Anybody. Yeah. Yeah. So no, anybody else. Anybody right. You want.
Ke'Bryan Hayes, 74%.
Still think I'd rather have Ke'Bryan Hayes' upside.
Unless you're specifically chasing home runs, yeah. Sure.
Okay, last one I'll give you, Mike Moustakas.
So
Moustakas could go on a similar run.
The problem, I want to see how they've divvied up playing time. Yeah, I mean, Moustakas and Suarez have basically alternated starts at third base since Moustakas returned. So I feel like the issue with Suarez, I mean, the biggest issue for Suarez now is he's not playing every day. He was providing home runs when he was. So no, I would not, I would rather have Sano than Moustakas.
Mm-hmm. All right, next up we have Tyler McGill. He was at the Giants on Wednesday, 6 innings, 1 run, 6 strikeouts. He had 16 swinging strikes on 90 pitches against a lineup that doesn't typically swing and miss all that much. He had 9 of those on his fastball. He's got a 3.21 ERA at this point. He's 63% rostered and looks like he is scheduled to face the Giants and the Nationals next week. Chris, 2 starts, under 70% rostered, okay matchups. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he can be, I think you can make a case he should be like 85, 90% rostered next week. I don't know how many points leagues he's not rostered in right now, but certainly should be universal in points leagues with a 2-start week coming up. He's pretty good, or at least he's been pretty good. I don't know what to actually make of it because he didn't have very much pedigree or hype coming in, but you know, a lot of the underlying numbers, you know, mostly suggest that he's been pretty good at limiting damage on contact, and he's getting more than a strikeout per inning. So I kind of like McGill.
All right, Scott, let's play matchmaker. Would you drop Taijuan Walker for Tyler McGill?
That's about the same range for me. I was definitely cooling on McGill prior to this start. You know, the previous 3 starts were all pretty shaky. But he was, you know, this may have been his best start. The one he just put in here Wednesday. Certainly the swinging strike total, 16 of those was the highest he's had. I think I'd stick with Taijuan Walker, but it's close.
Would you find dropping Walker?
Would you drop Dallas Keuchel, 84% rostered?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Nick Pivetta, 83%.
Yeah.
Sure.
Steven Matz, 80%. Man, yeah. People really bought in when we talked about Steven Matz for, I don't know, the first 2 weeks of the season.
I was never on board with that, just to,
just oh, to be clear. Okay.
I never was.
All right. Yeah. All right.
We're pointing the finger at somebody. Which
one? Okay, Zach, please, Zach, guys. All right, you want to talk about? I didn't bring up his start in Oh My Goodness Gracious for a reason.
I mean,
because Zach's numbers were good once upon a time.
If you want to talk about Plesak now, I was going to save it for later. The guy stinks. You can drop him for nearly anybody. I think he's still 80%. Where is this? I think it's more than that. I think it's over 90%. Plesak. No, 89% rostered. But he faces the Texas Rangers next week. The Rangers are awful. They are so, so bad. So you can drop him, but I'm just saying, if you need a streamer, in a 15-team league, I'm going to start Zach Plesak next week. Not that I really would condone that for anyone else. All right, last name here, Casey Mize. Would you drop him for Tyler McGill?
Yes,
I'd be fine with that.
All right, next up we have Miles Straw, Scott White's favorite outfielder in fantasy baseball. He went 1-for-4 with a double, an RBI, 2 walks, 2 runs scored, and his 21st steal of the season. He's 49% rostered, 6 home games against the Rangers and the Red Sox next week. He will not be facing Chris Sale, according to what I saw. Scott, talk about Miles Straw while I find some other speedy outfielders that we could drop for him.
Yeah, Miles Straw is playing every day and seems like he's running more regularly with Cleveland than with Houston. I don't know. I mean, the thing about a speed specialist these days is like speed specialists back in the day used to steal 60 bases and now speed specialists today are lucky to get 25, and it's just like, I don't know. I don't know that it's worth falling behind in all those other categories.
Can we get to 30? Can we get 9 steals in 6 weeks? I think we can.
Yeah, I think he could. And, you know, he's like, I think he's kind of a 2.5 court category guy, at least. You know, I'm not going to say he's a helpful hitter in batting average, but I think he's a small plus sign, you know, like this big. And he's scoring a decent amount of runs with Cleveland. So
if he's batting leadoff, yeah, I mean, he should help in runs. His OBP for the year is 342. That's not bad.
Mm. Yeah, I think he's underrated. Yes. I think he's under rostered.
This is the most optimistic Scott has talked about Miles Straw all season long.
Yeah.
We finally did it.
He's not my kind of guy. I understand, you know, we're in August and you're limited to what's available on waivers. So, I mean, you can't nitpick too much, but obviously limits to what Miles Straw can do for you.
All right, let's play matchmaker. Would you drop Randall Grichuk? He's 80% rostered.
All categories being equal, no.
Would you drop Max Kepler, 78%?
Seems very category dependent. I mean, we're really only talking about Miles Straw in categories leagues, by the way, and really just traditional 5x5, because if you start doing 6x6 and up, how valuable are stolen bases, really?
Yeah.
So just keep that in mind for all these answers. But I would say in a categories league, you know, it depends what you need. It really, like, if you need home runs more, then stick with Kepler. But if you need stolen bases more, go with Straw.
All right, Chris, would you drop Jeff McNeil for Miles Straw?
Probably not, but I don't know. McNeil might just be a one category guy at this point.
All right, last one. Kike Hernandez, known as Enrique Hernandez on CBS, is still 73% rostered.
I'd be fine dropping him.
He's been great, though, for the last couple months. I had to move him way up in my rankings. I'd rather stick with Hernandez. He's a leadoff hitter, too.
Last one I wanted to mention, Frankie two hits. Frank Schwindel, this is all he does. He went 2-for-4 with a double in RBI. I think he had the same exact stat line yesterday. He's now batting .329 with a .994 OPS. He's 18% rostered. Let's find some first baseman that we can drop here for good old Frank Schwindel while I try to pick this up. Chris, you haven't talked about Frank Schwindel yet. What are your thoughts on him?
I don't see a ton of reasons to be excited about him, you know, in his batted ball profile. Like, it all looks just kind of fine. His expected WOBA is .347, which is fine. His expected batting average, .278. It's all fine, but you're talking about, you know, someone who looks fine in a 83 plate appearance sample size. So I'd be fine with him over Hunter Dozier, sure. You know, there's a devil you don't know aspect to it, but I'm not. I don't see much reason to rush out and grab him.
All right, can I find some questionable first baseman? You know, I didn't realize Lourdes Gurriel has first base eligibility. That's pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. His playing time has been cut. Can we drop Gurriel for, I don't know, any of the names that we've mentioned to this point? Sano, Straw, Dozier, Frank Schwindel, or is that going too far?
Let me see how much his playing time's been cut, because I'd heard that.
I would prefer not to. And by the way, Frank Schwindel has done nothing against anything but fastballs so far this season.
Lourdes Gurriel has sat out 3 of the last 6 games.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah, man, he's sitting a lot. You know,
that was a big miss for me.
It depends how urgently you need help, I guess. I mean, at this point, how likely is it that Gurriel's going to get hot enough to win back full-time at-bats? I don't know. I mean, I get what Chris is saying with Schwindel, and certainly the odds are against him being an impact contributor, but he's always just, between his minor league numbers, and he's had 2 huge spring trainings before, and I just always kind of wanted him to get a chance, and now that he's getting it, he's playing well. And
I would be fine dropping Lourdes Gurriel.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm at, just to see, like, because I don't feel like Gurriel, except maybe in a deep 5 outfielder league, it just doesn't seem that usable right now.
Yeah. Yep. A few names that I would drop for Schwindel: Dominic Smith. I mean, Chris, you want to talk about misses? I'll take a big Lehu Zaher on Dominic Smith. I would drop him for Frank Schwindel at this point. I would drop Nate Lowe, another one that I liked quite a bit early on in the season. Anyone else stand out here? Nah, I mean, those are a few names there, but the guy's playing well. So pick him up, see where it goes. Anything to see here? Let's run through this a little bit quickly. Jesus Sanchez hit an upper tank home run, lefty on lefty against Will Smith. He's 25% rostered. 6 home games next week. Chris, anything to see here? Jesus Sanchez.
I think Jesus Sanchez is just going to give us like one huge like home run every 3 or 4 weeks to make us buy in. But he's so talented, but the numbers just haven't been there for him really kind of ever.
Yep. I have no reason to actually buy in on him outside of the fact that I acquired him in Scott's Dynasty League. But
I mean, he looks the part.
You watch him play, he has swag. Like, the guy understands the strike zone. He really does. Like, I watch a lot of his at-bats, but 30% strikeout rate, 5% walk rate. Obviously, that's not going to work. He's got a ground ball rate over 50%. Mm-hmm. His max exit velocity is in the 83rd percentile. So when he makes contact, he can hit it hard, but he kind of needs to go through this Vladimir Guerrero transformation where he's got to lift the ball more. There's just no question about it.
Scouts have been higher on him than his numbers basically his whole career.
Yeah. Well, I do want to point out this was his 26th game in the majors this year, so I don't know that we need to dissect the K rate, the ground ball rate that much. For this year, I mean, I don't have particularly high hopes for Jesus Sanchez, but in our 24-team Dynasty League, Frank, I don't think you should lose faith yet.
No, I'm not. And like, the only reason I bring up those numbers in particular is because they've been questionable at the minor league level too. The strikeouts have been high. The walks have been low. The ground balls have been.
His career strikeout rate in the minors is, I can't find it. He had one year where it was bad, but for most of his minor league career, it's
around 18%.
Oh yeah. Well, that's actually better than I thought. All right, Scott, you made me feel better about Jesus Sanchez. Brady Singer for most of the season has been very bad, but he was pretty good on Wednesday. 6 2/3, 2 runs, 6 strikeouts against the Houston Astros of all teams. He only had 3 swinging strikes on 92 pitches. The velocity was up 2 miles per hour on his slider in this one. Scott, anything to see on Brady Singer?
No, it's going to take a lot more than this to win me over.
Yes, yep. Especially when he's at the Houston Astros again next week. So don't love that. Chris, back to you. Your guy, Ian Happ, 5 hits, 2 homers over his last 3 games. I don't think there's anything there yet, but I think we need to just pay attention. Let's see where it goes.
Big L for me so far on Ian Happ. But yeah, he's someone I'm always going to be interested in. I like the skill set. I believe in it. I'm not sure what went wrong this season, except that it's the same thing that went wrong before.
Today's podcast has been very big on transparency and admitting defeat. So,
I mean, yesterday I went back and looked at like my breakouts and bust columns. So
it's fresh on your mind.
I had Kevin Gausman as a bust. Way to go, Chris.
Well, the thing is, you weren't going against the grain in backing Lourdes Gurriel, who I don't know that anybody was down on. I was high on Gurriel too. And you weren't going against the grain with Ian Happ either. He was a very trendy breakout.
I was much higher on him than most people though.
Okay.
He was like a top 75 player for me.
Yeah.
I dirtied the bed on that one.
All right, Scott, I gave you Brady Singer before. I'm going to give you another fun one. Andrew Heaney up against the Red Sox. 7 innings, 1 run, 4 strikeouts. Before this, he allowed 15 earned runs over his last previous 3 starts. Anything to see?
Nah. The bargain with Heaney was, well, he's going to miss so many bats that, you know, on the days where he doesn't give up a ton of home runs, he might be worth it, but he's not even doing that. So
here's the cautionary tale for Josiah Gray.
True. Yeah. I mean, it's too early to say how Josiah Gray's career is going to play out.
Right. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I mean, Chris, if it goes wrong, it could look like Andrew Heaney's. Yeah.
Don't you put that evil on Josiah Gray.
That is a player type I really like. I've always been a Heaney guy. I've always been a Steven Matz, even to a certain extent, has a similar profile.
And, it's the Ricky Nolasco profile.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, The margin is razor thin if you give up that many home runs. You'll have stretches. Vince Velasquez, another guy, Nick Pivetta. There will be stretches where you can look really, really good, but you got to really be overpowering to overcome that kind of bad at ball profile.
Shout out to Andrew Heaney, though. Break out the brooms. Yankees sweep the Red Sox. I haven't pissed anybody off in quite a bit, so just thought I would play this for you guys.
Of all the dramatic things I've ever seen.
That's right, Andrew Heaney. Last one I wanted to mention here. In his first career start, Reds prospect Jose Barrero, not Jose Garcia, goes 2-for-3 with a double and a hit-by-pitch. He's 10% rostered. Scott, I don't think we need to add him yet, but man, I am intrigued. You know, I might add him in like some 15-team leagues just to see where it goes, but...
And you're the one with faith in Kyle Farmer. I don't know what you're doing. I'm contradicting. Hedging your bet there, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. But man, a name to watch.
Barrero has a lot of upside. He's the Reds shortstop of the very near future, and the very near future could begin this year. So I think that's reasonable to pick him up in some deeper leagues.
Two hard hit balls today. That's what you want to see from him. He's a big raw power guy.
Yeah, again, he hit a home run in the Futures game earlier this season. Hey, real quick, CJ Cron has had two more hits on Wednesday, three more RBI in 15 August games. He's batting .415, seven homers, 25 RBI in 15 games. That is just unreal. He also has an 1108 OPS at home and a 674 OPS on the road, 71% rostered, six games on the road next week. I don't think you could start him on the road.
No. I mean, it's as straightforward as it gets with CJ Cron. Start him at home, sit him on the road. Two home series, he's just been bananas. And then there was like a dead road series or two in between.
Is he going to end up with like the season we thought he was, and just throughout, nobody's actually going to have like had any faith in him?
100%.
Before the season, we were like, oh man, CJ Cron could have like a 30 homer, 90 RBI season where he hits .270. And like, he's not far off that pace.
100%. I was actually thinking to myself, I hope the Rockies bring CJ Cron back because he fits so well there. Will Myers had a double dong. He's now up to 15 home runs. His last 15 games, he's heating up a little bit. .289 batting average, three homers, one steal, 77% rostered. The problem is he plays five games next week. Any interest in Will Myers?
Not yet. He hasn't been as bad lately as you feel like he's been, as you pointed out, but you could go back further than the last 15 games. Still, he hasn't been quite good enough to motivate me to start him again.
Hey, real quick, it never fails. We told everyone to drop Michael Conforto, drop Matt Chapman, and of course, both of those guys are coming around. Michael Conforto, two more hits. He's now batting .304 with two home runs, a .904 OPS in the month of August. 73% rostered, six home games next week. Chris, should we jump back on the Michael Conforto bandwagon?
Start Lourdes Gurriel next week.
Why? Yeah.
Because we told everyone to drop him.
Oh, right. Yeah. That makes sense.
Sorry.
Come on, guys.
A little slow.
Context clues. Yeah. Yeah. You should. Yeah. When Michael Conforto is going right, like, I get dropping him when he's been in this season long cold streak, but we know how talented he is. We know how good he can be.
Will we want to start any of these pitchers next week? Marco Gonzalez at Texas on Wednesday. Never fails. 5 1/3 shutout, six hits, only three strikeouts. Over his last six starts, he has a 1.45 ERA. Three of those starts have come against the Texas Rangers. He looks like he's in line for two starts next week versus the Royals at the Oakland A's. Scott, would you start him there? It's not Texas.
Well, no, but the Royals are kind of a pushover. Their lineup is as well.
True.
And it's two starts. Much easier to justify in a points league than a roto league. But, you know, last six starts, the three that weren't against Texas were also very good for Marco Gonzalez. So he may be coming around. I mean, he's somebody we pretty much all believed in coming into the year.
I wish there was I'm trying to figure out if there's a way to do like Statcast high-level splits over the like course of the last six games or whatever it is, because he had some of the worst expected stats I've ever seen for a starting. Like, literally, he had like an xERA in the middle of July that was like almost at 7. And so far, yeah, those numbers have really turned around. He's got a 191 x WOBA in the month of August. That was before tonight, and it was lower than his first 2 months in July, at least. So I might start him in a points league next week. Sure.
Just give me a yes or no on these next two. Tarek Skubal turned in a quality start against the Angels on Wednesday. He's allowed two earned runs over his last three starts. Would you look to start him at the Cardinals next week?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's a must-start situation, but it's if you're looking to fill an extra pitcher spot, yes.
Yeah, he's pretty fringy, but okay.
Scott, our guy Ranger Suarez let us down, man. At the Diamondbacks, 4 2/3, 8 hits, 3 runs, 4 walks. It was a dreadful start. However, he's got two starts next week versus Tampa Bay versus Arizona again. 36% rostered. Seems kind of fringy.
Yeah, polar opposite opponents there. You know, 6 of the hits he gave up were singles. That happened. When you're an extreme ground ball pitcher, you're going to give up singles sometimes. The 4 walks, we could, you know, that's not something he can continue if he wants to be good. I hoped for more against the Diamondbacks, obviously, but I'm not ready to give up on Ranger Suarez. I mean, he still has a 1.47 ERA on the year. So for a two-start week, particularly if you're talking a points league and a spark and relief pitcher spot, I think that's still worth pursuing.
All right, some Wednesday leftovers, some quick standouts. Jose Ramirez went 2 for 6 with his 27th home run. He's heating back up. Charlie Blackmon is enjoying Coors Field this week. He's got 4 hits, 2 homers in 3 games. Marcus Semien had a double dong. He's now up to 29 homers with 13 steals. Somebody should pay Marcus Semien this offseason. It's going to be interesting to see where he goes. Teoscar Hernandez went 2 for 4 with a double and his 22nd home run. In the second half, he's batting 365, 11 homers, and an 1115 OPS. Juan Soto and Josh Bell each hit their 20th home run of the season. Soto in the second half batting 367, 9 homers, a 1273 OPS. At the Home Run Derby, he said, you know, I think the Home Run Derby is going to help me take off in the second half. Well, certainly has.
I just want to point out, since the start of June, he's hitting 324, 471, 596. So that's a 1067 OPS, which is really good. A 141 walk to 121 strikeout pace, a near 40 homer pace. Even 12 stolen base pace, Juan Soto might just be the number one pick next year.
You know, I was about to say no way, but with Ronald Acuna and Fernando Tatis' status up in the air, that could make a lot of sense. Luis Robert, he's hot. 10 hits, 2 homers, 1 steal over his last 6 games. Jack Flaherty up against the Brewers, 6 innings, 2 runs, 8 strikeouts. The velocity down a little bit, around 1 mile per hour on the fastball, almost 2 miles per hour on the slider, so let's pay attention to that. But fantastic matchups for Flaherty next week up against the Tigers and the Pirates. Last name I wanted to mention, AJ Pollock, 3 for 5 with his 15th home run. He's 74% rostered. He might be out there. Some 10-team leagues, some points leagues.
I don't know why the buy-in's been so slow with him. I know there have been questions about him losing playing time after they acquired Trey Turner, but obviously that's not going on right now with Mookie Betts out.
So, he can't stay healthy.
Well, is that a sarcastic argument?
Yeah.
From you?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you never make that argument about anybody.
Yeah. No, that's why the buy-in's been so slow.
Yeah, it sounds like it makes sense. I mean, he was leading off for the Dodgers on Wednesday. I mean, if you need any other reason to pick someone up, I mean, that should be it. The call to the bullpen, some bullpen updates for the Twins. Alex Colomé is back. He gave up 2 earned runs and took his 5th blown save of the season. For the Rockies, Daniel Bard got his 20th save. That comes with a 4.44 ERA. For the Giants, Jake McGee gave up a run in the 9th, took his 4th blown save. He's now allowed 5 earned runs over his last 5 appearances. Getting a little shaky out there, so let's see with the Giants. For Washington, Kyle Finnegan picked up his 4th save. For the Angels, Raisel Iglesias, his 27th save. He is the 3rd-ranked reliever in Roto this season. And, you know, when I saw 27, I thought one of my bold predictions coming into the year was that Raisel Iglesias would finish as the number one closer in fantasy and lead MLB in saves. Leading MLB in saves, probably not going to happen, but he's not that far off. He's 7 behind Mark Melanson. So there you go. Pump myself back up after taking a bunch of L's. For the Mariners, Paul Sewald, Scott, Why do we even talk about it yesterday, right? I'm Paul Sewald using the 8th inning. Drew Steckenrider picks up his 5th save, and we basically yesterday we said the opposite. So,
well, this is Stegen Rider worked not even the eighth yesterday, worked the seventh.
Yeah.
And, you know, heading into yesterday, I thought maybe Stegen Rider is the front runner for saves and see. I think Diego Castillo definitely isn't. That doesn't mean Castillo won't get another save this year, but they keep using him in the eighth pretty much all month they have. So, I'd still rather have Seawald because his other numbers are better, and it at least seems to be a split role between the two.
For the Royals, Scott Barlow got his seventh save. For the White Sox, Liam Hendricks, nice bounce back, five hitless outs with three strikeouts for his 28th save. And then for the Cardinals, Alex Reyes just had a nightmare outing. He gave up a solo homer in the ninth to tie the game, and then he gave up three unearned runs in the 10th. He wound up taking the loss. A lot of those unearned runs came because of him. He had an error in the 10th inning. He had a wild pitch that allowed a run to score, so it was just an awful outing. Thursday streamers, to stream or not stream, let's start with Jose Quintana at the Tigers, Chris Flexen at the Rangers, John Lester versus the Brewers, Zach Thompson at the Reds, Mike Minor versus the Astros. Flexen and nobody else?
Yeah, Flexen's probably the only one.
Mm-hmm. That's fine by me. Let's look at Friday. Brad Keller at the Cubs, Zach Davies versus the Royals, Nestor Cortez versus the Twins, Eliezer Hernandez at the Reds, Brett Anderson versus the Nationals, and Miles Michaelis making his return versus the Pirates.
I don't love any of these, but I could live with Eliezer Hernandez at Cincinnati, Nestor Cortez versus the Twins, and Brad Keller at the Cubs.
Brad Keller's been sort of good lately. He's got like a 3.60 ERA since the start of July.
Yep. And I would have said that the Cubs have been pretty bad lately, but they hit Tyler Mahle pretty hard on Wednesday. I don't know where that came from, but yeah, it did happen. Team name Thursday. Let's wrap up with some of these from Dansby on Twitter. Dansby Samsonite.
All right.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Good 26-year-old movie reference there.
Yeah.
I did look that up beforehand. I've seen Dumb and Dumber. Don't worry, but it's been a while. And then his next one is Doncha Inoa.
Okay. I mean, kind of also could also be like a 26-year-old movie reference. It's not that old.
Oh yeah, it is.
What would that be for?
Oh, that just made me feel really old. Fargo.
Oh yeah,
that's okay. Like 95.
Uh huh.
Oh man,
I think Fargo's 96.
I still think like I was like, no, that was only 15 years ago. Nope, that was.
Man. Yeah.
That just made me feel really old.
You start losing decades. I hear you.
Yeah.
This next one's from Daniel. Stop looking at me, Swanson.
What is that?
Parks and Rec, right?
That's
like Tom.
So I just searched it on Google. It could be Parks and Rec. It seems like it also could be Billy Madison. He yells at a swan. Stop looking at me, Swan.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. A lot of Dansby Swanson love. I'm here for it. From Tyler. I've got seven players on the IL currently, including my first and second rounders, Mookie Betts and Adalberto Mondesi. So my team name is now Alberto Mon DTDSE.
I like all right, it. Heath.
That's very good. No, that's great.
Such a Heath team name.
This next one's from CJ, India of the Galaxy.
I don't get it.
I don't either.
Don't get it. Look. You guys are my go-tos for team names. So if you don't get it, I don't get it. From Mark and KC, all this talk of Ferris Bueller's Day Off, I still haven't watched it, made me think of some John Hughes film team names. Q Frank admitting he's seen none of these movies, and Chris saying, to all of these team names. The Breakfast Kluber.
Mm-hmm.
Walker Bueller's Day Off.
Mm-hmm.
Home Malone.
That's very good. That's the best one. Although the next one might be better.
16 Candelarios. That's very good. From Brad. I think I'm going to do this right. I'm not entirely sure. Oblique day, oblique da. Oblique day, oblique da. What is that from? Is that like a song or something?
Not quite, but you're right. The spirit of it.
Okay.
It's obla di obla da.
Oh, all right. So I was kind of in rhythm. Not really, though. From Bill, gallon of gasoline on the fire. Well, say that again.
Sure. Yeah.
And we have a bunch from Joe. We'll wrap up with these. Do you like jazz?
Oh, like Chisholm. Okay.
Yeah. I don't have my jazz soundbite here. Well, too bad. Annie, are you okay?
Yep.
Oh, this is a Yu Darvish team name?
Sure is. Chris, do you prefer the original
or Alien Ant Farm?
I prefer the Alien Ant Farm one.
Yeah, I think so too.
That song is just awesome.
It's so great. Next one, Bohm Goes the Dynamite. Actually, my team name in the For the People podcast league.
There you go.
Yeah, this is an often used one, like Trevor ending story.
Yeah, sure has. Shohei Girl, hey.
Sure.
Haters gonna hate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Paddock at the Disco.
I think we've seen that one before too. Yeah.
Well, the classic is Panic at Chance Cisco.
Oh,
Joe, yes. Panic.
Joe Panic.
That is. Yep. That's an all-timer.
That's great. Sexy Canna.
I don't understand.
That's a song. Sexy Canna. I forgot who sings it. Nolan. How do I do this? Nolan Arenado on your team anymore.
Yeah.
And the last one here is Wadamas. Wadamas, you made. What a mess you made. Okay.
I was thinking the better version of the Nolan Arenado one would be Nolan Arenado not going to work here anymore.
That's pretty good.
And to add to the John Hughes one, I will contribute Planes, Trains, and Vaudemobiles.
There, okay. Yeah.
All right. Works. Well, you got the approval from Scott. That doesn't happen often here on Team Name Tuesday. Again, if you want to help us name our softball team, Chris and I are going to play on a team together in the fall. Scott, if you want to move up to New York for like a couple of months and you want to play with us, sure, you're welcome to do so, obviously. If you want to bring your wife.
Fly up every Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Why not?
If your wife knows how to play softball, we could use some ladies that know how to play. So again, you have a team name for our softball team, let us know. Email it in. For Scott, Chris, I am Frank. Thank you all for listening and watching Fantasy Baseball Today. We'll be back again tomorrow. Bye-bye. Homes.com knows that when it comes to home shopping, it's never just about the house or condo. It's about the home. And what makes a home is more than just the house or property. It's the location and neighborhood. Homes.com offers in-depth neighborhood guides with detailed video overviews, comprehensive narratives, and unbiased information from a multitude of sources. You thought we'd go in-depth with player analysis on Fantasy Baseball Today? You haven't seen anything yet. Each listing features comprehensive information about the neighborhood, complete with a video guide. If you have kids, it's also schools, nearby parks, and transportation options. When looking at local schools, they offer test scores, state rankings, and student-to-teacher ratio. They even have an agent directory with the sales history of each agent. That's why Homes.com goes above and beyond to bring home shoppers the in-depth information they need to find the right home. So when it comes to finding a home, not just a house, this is everything you need to know, all in one place. Homes.com. We've done your homework.